Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of FTU Life After the Military. I'm your host, Tony Rodriguez, and today is April 27th. And it's a beautiful spring day here in North Carolina, and this week has been very good. So I wanted to do a quick episode here just to talk about like what I did for the past week. Okay, so I guess let's get the bad out of the way, right? So got feedback on one of the papers I turned in. For my PhD program, and after reading the comments, the feedback, of course, I decided, you know what, that's it. I quit. I've had enough of this junk, this hocus-pocus junk. I'm out of here. I quit. And like everything else, you know, I went for a run, came home, had a cup of coffee, and decided, you know what, I'm not going to quit. So I want to thank Jesse for helping me just learn how to get things out and just not hold things in when things bother me, when I want to quit, just to vocalize that so then I can realize how stupid that sounds. And just give you some perspective on what I'm talking about. In 2008, we went to SEER school. It's survival, evasion, resistance, escape. It's more hocus pocus junk from the military, and who cares? Either way, they call it Camp Slappy. It was a slap fest, right? Just kind of tired of getting slapped around and not eating, not being able to sleep. And so every couple of hours, I'd go see Jesse and I'd tell him, that's it, dude, I quit. And he'd tell me, he's like, no, you're not quitting. Shut up, turn around, go back out there. And I would. And I did that probably about, I don't know, 8 to 12 times a day for that week that we were held captives. And of course, I passed because, like everything, you know, it's uncomfortable, but it's only uncomfortable for a little while, and then you get through it, right? And same thing with this this paper. The issue I'm having with this program, what most people are having, is that at the PhD level, right, you've already accomplished quite a bit. Everybody in this program is established. We have varying levels of success, successful careers, right? So, yeah, you know, you complete your associate's, your undergraduate, your master's, 1, 2, 3, however many masters. You know, you go overseas, you're the head of a company, you're the head of this, you're the head of that, right? And then you think you understand the work that you're doing, the topic, and you get feedback, and then the feedback is good feedback. I'm just not used to being told, hey, this is screwed up. And the reason why I'm not used to that is for multiple reasons. One, growing up, I was always praised for getting good grades. Whenever I had feedback, it's because I screwed something up, right? So it brings back those bad memories of just being, when I screwed up when I was a kid, from either my parents or from my teachers, you know, and they would have to talk to me. And then in the military, of course, right? If you do something that they're proud of, then you're praised, right? Maybe you get a medal, maybe not. Maybe get a coin or, I don't know, some nonsense. A certificate of achievement, right? Like, a certificate of achievement. whatever they use to acknowledge you, right? But if you don't, if you screw up, then, you know, I don't know, it could be an Article 15, a counseling. Maybe they're not allowed to do it anymore, but, you know, they take you outside and make you do push-ups and run around and do crazy stuff, right? And so that's... why I have trouble getting feedback, because I always performed well in school, and to get any feedback, I don't particularly like it. I know I need it because I want to progress. I want to be better. I don't want to settle for plateauing, right? You could always improve yourself. That's the way I view it. So of course I got over it. We had our little meeting with my cohort, and we were all in the same boat, and it seems, you know, again, thank you very much for Cohort 6 there in the PhD program at Troy. They're awesome. They're very supportive. And again, thank you for letting me be part of this chapter for this project that we're putting together. You know, I greatly appreciate it. So if I seem a little distracted, I'm sorry. It's because the NFL draft is on right now. I'm trying to multitask. but anyway, thank you very much to Cohort 6, because evidently I was not the only one who felt like this. And so it's just good to have a support system, right? So that's a bad. What's the good thing? Well, the good thing is I got to have coffee with Scott Story. If you haven't listened to his podcast, just look it up. It's an awesome podcast on leadership, and it's a good podcast because it gives you an honest perspective on leadership. Scott was brigade commander, I think around 2015, very intelligent person. What I really enjoyed about him as being the brigade commander was that it was, hey, this is my standard. This is the information, and just do the best you can. Right. It wasn't useless, pointless speeches about international relations, about theory, right? Some more Sun Tzu nonsense. it was practical advice on how to deal with different cultures and how to accomplish our job. And I appreciate that. And I appreciate it then, and I appreciate it now. There was no hocus pocus joke, right? There was no, let me tell you how many terms I've learned in my academic career, or let me tell you how much knowledge I gained from SAMS or whatever hocus pocus junk school that the military has, right? If I'm saying hocus pocus junk a lot, it's because that's a new term I picked up. That one and flush the mouse. When you screw up, you have flushed the mouse. And hocus pocus junk is just stuff that, you know, you don't need. It gets in the way. It's pointless. It's useless. It's hocus pocus junk. So I got to have coffee with Scott. Great guy. Made my day. And then the next day, I got to see James, former team leader, former company commander, battalion commander. And seeing James is always, it's always good time, a good time to see James, right? I was able to let him know that some of our friends have moved away because he wanted to see some people. He doesn't live here anymore and came into town. And he didn't get to see everyone. I saw him just by chance, right? But when he was company commander, I got my award for my senior parachutist badge. You might ask, well, what is that? Hocus pocus junk. Means nothing. But it was, I needed it so I could look better for the promotion board, right? Well, wrote the memorandum about six times because, of course, in the military, right? Nobody in the military actually cares if you know how to write. As long as you know how to write the military style, which the military style is caveman. It's caveman writing, right? Which I've never seen so many corrections on memorandums that I had written. I hold 3 master's degrees, but I had people who had GEDs correcting my memorandums because evidently I didn't use enough commas, right? Again, hocus pocus junk. Anyway, after the 5th time we had to rewrite this memorandum, it finally got approved. And so James had to sign the memorandum 5 times. So when it finally got approved, he walked into my office. He called my name, and before he called my name, he threw my senior parachuter's badge. It's just parachute wings, and it has like a little star at the top, right? He threw them at me, and when I turned around, boom, they hit me in the back of the head. And he was right. That is the most memorable ceremony I ever had in the military, right? The rest of them were all just garbage, you know. Other than that, what I think there were 2 in my 11 deployments, 2 ceremonies to present me an award. Yeah, so definitely that was the most memorable ceremony. So it was good to see him, right? So what else happened to me this week? Well, if you can't tell, my hair is growing in. The light's not good here, but it's actually growing in. There's crazy hairline, but that's because my natural hairline is trying to make a comeback, and I don't know if it's going to be successful or not. But we'll see. We'll write it out and see how it ends up. So I also was in, I bring my, up my hairline because when I was growing my goatee out a couple of months ago, kept getting asked if I spoke English, if I was American. You know, I told you about that incident up at DPAC, and the lady just treated me like garbage. I don't know if she thought I was illegal or something, or if I was just going to take a crap. But now, evidently, that I'm clean shaven and my hair is growing in, I was asked yesterday if I spoke Farsi, if I was a Farsi teacher where I work. It's like, no, I am. I don't teach Farsi. And then I got, oh, well, what language do you teach? It's like, I don't teach any language, you buffoon. And at that point, I didn't call the person a buffoon, but they realized, oh, man, I just feel like an idiot, right? And so they turned around, walked away, left the building. I like these interactions because it reminds me that military people, again, this podcast is dedicated to trying to help people transition out of the military. Military people don't know how to talk like normal human beings. What a normal human being would do is they would say, hi, my name is, and then you would state your name, and then you would say, I'm looking for the Farsi teacher. Do you know where he is? Can you help me out, please? And I would say, yes, let me help you out. Or they'd say, excuse me, sir. I seem to be not sure where I am or what I'm doing. Could you assist me? So, okay, sure. But no, right? In the military, it's like you make assumptions and you just draw your conclusions and just go with it. And instead of like taking a second and stopping, you ask the first question and it's the wrong question. Instead of asking, like, hey, let me start over again. It's like, let me continue down this path and make myself look like a bigger buffoon than I already did. Right. Okay. Sure. Whatever. Also because I still work with the military, right? Great, great place to work. Enjoy it. Love working with my coworkers. Received this email from a master sergeant who presented him with my schedule for these briefs that I'm going to present to him and his group. And of course he responds back with, who authorized this schedule? Please confirm. Like, what? Who speaks like this? So, of course, I just got up, went to go have a coffee, and got in my car, drove down to where they work. He wasn't there, and I just talked to people there. Just, guys, I don't care. I just want to make sure I'm in the right place so I can give you the briefs. I don't care if we go out to the woods. I don't care if you want me to reserve Cracker Barrel. We could do it at Cracker Barrel. I don't care where we do this stuff. Just let me know where. Oh, okay. Yeah, sure. No problem, right? I'm going to do some sort of like this little exercise next week. And the young captain that's in charge sent me the schedule and said, you have to be here by 8:30 or you won't be allowed to participate. It's like, and lunch is from 12:30 to 1. You bring your own lunch because you're not going to be authorized to take longer than that. I laughed and I laughed and I laughed and I laughed. Yeah, I can do whatever I want, right? But I enjoy seeing that because, one, that's military life, right? I do not regret leaving it. I went, met some good people. I met some not some so good people, both in the military and out. I did the most I could, try to take advantage of the opportunities that were presented, and I moved on. Now it's life after the military, right? I bring this up because I still hear people talking about, well, if you could go back in, but you could keep your retirement pay, you know, would you do it? We should start a petition. We should start this. It's like, guys, just move on with your life. There's plenty of things to do. If you want to be a mentor to soldiers, you can do that without having to join the military. And honestly, that would probably be better because when you're in the military, they don't want you to be a mentor because they already have a million things to do, right? Got to mow the lawn, got to get the miles on the vehicles, got to go to dental because, you know, if you're not at least a cat one, if you're a cat four, forget it. China's going to win, right? Everybody knows that. If you're cat three or cat four, China's going to win, right? can't go to combat. Can't go to combat if you've had, unless you've had your annual cleaning.
Right.
So they're just have a ridiculous amount of just hocus pocus junk, garbage tasks to do every day. That, guess what? At the end of the day, they don't want to hear some old timer spitting wisdom to them. They don't. You want to know why? Because I don't want to hear anybody running their mouth to me. I told you when I was out at SWCC, there was this 2-day program where they brought some professor in from Duke, and his big thing was that he was a retired colonel, right? Awesome. And this jackass is talking about the great man theory, transactional leadership, and transformational leadership. And he wanted to talk about servant leadership. It's like, sweet Jesus, shut up. Because he provided no explanations whatsoever of his leadership style, of what he accomplished in the military. All he was talking about was theory. So he was just using a bunch of words that he thought nobody knew about, which I did, and I gained nothing out of it except losing some hair and having my blood pressure rise for those 2 days. So I hope he's doing well. I'm glad that he made $50,000 for those 2 days of garbage, but I didn't need him to go tell me what I already knew. And so for the guys that are talking about, hey, you know, we should try to see if we can get back in, find something. Find something for yourself, whether that's playing golf, whether that's riding motorcycles, whether that's writing a book, if you want to surf, whatever, right? Just find something to do. Go enjoy life. I was talking to Drew. I was telling him about that I'm writing this paper, right? Or I'm going to submit my, the Cultural and Language Center down in Montgomery for the Air Force. They're having their symposium in November, and I'm going to submit my my project so I can go present down there, right? And I'm focusing on the need for cultural training for young soldiers and special operations, right? Because you're allowed to come in special forces and psychological operations as an X-ray. So you could be 18 years old, right? Well, I know when I joined the military, I went from California to Georgia to Fort Benning. And then I went to Alabama to Redstone. And then North Carolina to Fort Bragg. Well, from Redstone back to Fort Benning for airborne school, and then Fort Benning to North Carolina. So I went to several states, right? Well, some people are only going to two states, right? They're born and raised in South Carolina, go to basic at Fort Benning, airborne school at Fort Benning, and then they hit North Carolina. They got three states, right? That's it. What in the hell do they know about dealing with different cultures overseas? They don't. They don't know anything, and that's all right. But I know when I was 21, my biggest focus was trying to see how many bars I could go to and how many different beers I could drink in one night, right? I was not worried about international relations and geopolitics. And so that's why I want to present on why culture training is important, especially for this group, this demographic. And Drew, of course, said, see, that's what they need, and it's good giving back. It's like, I explained to him, Drew, they're benefiting from this, but this is for me. I'm presenting so this can help my career, and there's nothing wrong with that. I provide a service, right? I'm not going to do this out of the kindness of my heart. Sure as hell, I'm not going to do this for free. I'm doing this because I am providing a service, right? You need to pay me. If you don't pay me, I'm not going to do it. If you're good at something, don't do it for free, right? And so I hear a lot of people telling me that, like, wow, this and that, mentorship, and we need to give back to the troops. We are out. Our time is done. Let's take care of ourselves. Let's make a little bit of money, spend time with our families, and enjoy life. There's nothing wrong with that. So again, I know I've been a little preachy here, but I just wanted to come up here and just let people know that, man, this week was actually pretty good. My leg's feeling better, so I'm actually able to run again. Boston Marathon qualifying time has dropped to 3 hours, 25 minutes. Next year, first week of March, Myrtle Beach, I'm going to nail that. Boom. That's, what is that? 7 minute miles? That's not a problem. It's not even 7 minute miles. It's like 7 minutes and 45 seconds. That's easy. That's cake. So next year, I'm going to qualify. So shout outs this week. I want to give a shout out to, there's an artist up in the DC area. Her name is Venus Wong. Go on there, Google her. You can see her art. It's great. It's acrylic art. She's helping me out with this book chapter. I needed somebody, female in leadership position, or basically a female leader, right? And representing the Caribbean or South America, Latin America. And she was kind enough to help me out. So I just wanted to give her a shout out and say thank you very much. After I'm done here, or after I go to Ashley's graduation next week. Yeah, Ashley's graduating. Roll Tide, right? Roll Tide. I'm going to go ahead and buy one of her paintings and hang it up in my nook upstairs. So yeah, that's all I have. All right. Also, I want to give a shout out to Jinjin. He's my grandson. He's a little fancy boy. Got to toughen him up and take him outside to go play some soccer. But that's a story for another day. All right. So again, just remember, you have something that makes you special. You have something that makes you unique. Identify what it is, maximize it to its fullest potential, and I know you will be successful. All right. So until next time, zot, 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 and roll Tide.